New members and active members. You want to know the full number in the whole Shriver family? Right now, officially, 505. At the July 5th meeting, people were going around with a little pink file card showing 501 people in the Shriver family. How many remember that little pink file card? I see about 10 hands. Well, I remember it. Everybody added up the active people in their fellowship. And at that time, an active person was just anybody who was into it. Since that time, really strict and definite standards have been set up, and we've all agreed upon them. And by those strict standards, there are 505 people in the Shriver family. And if you include lambs and backsliders, it's over 1,000 now. Praise God. I remember, now November 1st will be our next big meeting. And at that meeting, let's all work to have 500 people at that meeting. And by that time, there are 300 and some active members of those 500. 300 and what? Gail has 317 active members out of the 505. So most of them are active, and those new members, many of them will become active. The picture looks very good. Let's work hard to have 500 people at our next meeting. And of them, 400 of them active. Let's work to have 400 active people by November 1st and 500 by January 1st. Wouldn't it be something to have 500 active people by January 1st? Yeah. All right, now we began our meeting here two nights ago. We began by trying to gauge our time, didn't we? How much time do we have together? And try to make the best use of it. How many think that, what are your various opinions about how has time been used so far? Does anyone have any opinions? All right. We spent an awful lot of time on organizing, haven't we? Can you hear me now? We spent an awful lot of time on organizing and the physical matters, haven't we? All kinds of things have come together at once this meeting. We've had to concentrate on those things. We haven't gotten into the Bible at all. Tonight, let's be into Bible studies, most all the while. Do you know that we haven't prayed at all since we got together? I guess you all noticed that. Maybe we should have started praying anyway. But you know, there's been that circus thing. People haven't been as serious as they should be. But now we are going to get together and pray. And after we have some two or three Bible studies, we're going to have communion tonight. Do you think we should start with communion or after some Bible studies? Which would you rather do? How many would rather start having communion immediately or else after, or immediately, or else after Bible study? Well, that's pretty equal. Pretty equal. Let's try it again. How many people think we should have communion right away? Or else after Bible study? How many people would be unhappy if we had communion right away? Is it ready? Let's have communion first tonight. Pardon? All right, we need people to pass out. We are going to have a study on what communion. That's enough people, I think. That's enough to give out Bob and who? Is our friend Bob here from the church this afternoon? A Christian came to exhort us today. It's all on tape. Said he was going to be here tonight. While it's being passed out, let's do a Bible study on John chapter 3. It's going to take about 15 minutes just to give out the... Yes? Why don't you move these speakers over further? Can they be moved way over? How much room is there? Let's start doing a Bible study on John chapter 3. Or should we do a Bible study on what communion is? Let's begin with verses on the communion itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, isn't it? Now before we begin reading it, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Communion is just what it implies. It is a form of communion with Jesus. Just by way of explanation, communion is eating bread and drinking the fruit of the vine in memory of Jesus because he said to do it. It's a very simple thing. Anyone who's saved and baptized, or anyone who's saved at least, whether they're baptized or not yet, there's no requirement that they be baptized, but they must be saved, is eligible to take communion. But if you're not saved, then you mustn't take communion. Let me begin reading it, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to get into the second coming tonight. Each time we take communion, you're to remember that what you're doing is showing witness to everyone that you trust in the fact that he's going to come. Why would you be taking communion, unless you're into a church trip, just into ritual, why would you be taking communion unless you were convinced that it's valid? Why would you be into doing it? Instead, each time we take communion, we're showing trust. By the very act, we're showing trust in the fact that he's coming again. It's a very simple thing. It was made into a heavy ritual in history. I made a tape about this some time ago. We don't need to go into it too much. It was made a heavy ritual. It's called the Mass. And there were all kinds of superstitions about it. But it's a simple thing that Jesus said to do in remembrance of him. And so we're going to do it. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 27 goes on to describe how to take it. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself.